Today is Friday, June 26th. You're listening to the GPP Shareholder Activism and Corporate Governance Newsletter. Mirror, mirror, mirror on the wall. Should the market vote for us all? So-called mirror voting has become a front-page topic of policy and academic debate. And new research is finally helping to quantify its impact, suggesting that mirror voting is unlikely to change company vote outcomes. Mirror voting, which involves having index funds casting their shares in the same proportion as active investors, has been put forward as a potential catch-all solution to questions over who has the most influence in the shareholder voting process. This comes at a time when the voting power of index funds, which is projected to be around a quarter of the votes at America's largest companies, has come under increased scrutiny. But does mirror voting actually stop passive capital from determining the outcomes of annual meeting elections? A recent paper first, presented at Columbia Law School Milstein Center by Professors Edwin Hu, University of Virginia School of Law, Robert E. Bishop, Duke University School of Law, and Frank Partnoy, UC Berkeley School of Law, answers this very question. Their research uses 20 years of ISS voting analytics data, covering more than 600,000 agenda items at 9,451 companies from 2005 through 2025, and then retabulating each vote result as it would have come out under each of these voting permutations. Their study reveals that adopting mirror voting would not have changed that much. Only 12 company votes during that 20-year span would have flipped if mirror voting had been used. Those dozen cases stand in stark comparison to the data if index funds had instead followed proxy advisor or management recommendations. Beyond mirror voting, they also discuss four other alternatives from the current system: full abstention, pass-through voting, standing voting instructions, and market mirroring. There, data indicated that following those options during the same time period would have changed thousands of decisions at company annual meetings. Additionally, had the Big Three followed the full abstention option, 10% of the meetings between 2005 and 2025 would have fallen below the threshold needed for a vote quorum. The quorum requirement is something that Professors Nathan Atkinson, University of Wisconsin Law, and Jonathan Macy, Yale Law School, examined in their recent paper, going a step further and acknowledging that while the case for mirror voting is strong, it remains flawed because it does not consistently achieve neutral outcomes in elections. This debate has also continued at the SEC, including at its recent Investor Advisory Committee meeting agenda, where they discussed mirror voting and pass-through voting as options for overarching reforms. Ultimately, the discussion over mirror voting continues to heat up. The efforts from all parties involved, including companies such as ExxonMobil, are crucial, and the first large-scale empirical evidence provided by Professors Hu, Bishop, and Partnoy, who do not give an opinion but note that mirror voting is likely the least disruptive, is an important starting point to understand how shareholder voting and who votes will be determined. Starting with activism, Bloomberg, activist opposition to M&A comes on multiple fronts. Meng-Chi Sun highlights data from a new Diligent report revealing that last year the number of shareholder activists publicly opposing M&A deals reached its highest level since 2018, with announced deals in the tech and CPG industries facing particular scrutiny from investors. Columbia Law Blue Sky Blog, how shareholder activism in the U.S. and Japan converged. In a new report, Columbia Law professor Nobuhisa Ishizuka argues that the rise of U.S.-style shareholder activism in Japan is a result of the country's shareholder-centric corporate governance model, coupled with U.S. hedge funds' shift toward proactively building relationships with management teams rather than leading public campaigns. Freshfields, trends and updates from the 2026 proxy season. The law firm's report highlights key takeaways and trends to expect for next year, predicting that companies will have to navigate a wave of AI governance proposals and that AI will fully infiltrate the 2027 proxy season. Turning to M&A. CNBC Global M&A deal value on track to reach $4 trillion this year, PwC. A new PwC report notes that AI megadeals, including Salesforce's acquisition of Finn and SpaceX's Cursor acquisition, have been driving global M&A values in 2026. If the current pace continues, this would mark the second largest annual total since 2021, which saw $5 trillion in deal value. StatNews Pharma goes on a spending spree, snapping up biotechs in a hurry. 6 months into the year, and the value of pharma M&A deals has already surpassed 2025's total. The trend continued this week as AbbVie announced it plans to acquire Apogee for nearly $11 billion, while Germany's Merck also spent $11 billion to acquire the U.S.-based Bio-Techne. The Wall Street Journal building materials supplier CRH to buy rival Arcosa for $8.50 billion. the building materials supplier announced the all-cash acquisition of its competitor Arcosa, marking the latest high-profile deal in the sector after QXO's $17 billion deal for TopBuild and Berkshire Hathaway's $7 billion acquisition of Taylor Morrison. Bloomberg, Qualcomm to buy Modular for $3.90 billion to help AI push. In the San Diego-based chipmaker's latest push into integrating AI into its software capabilities, Qualcomm is acquiring Modular to help expand its presence into the data center business. Turning to corporate governance news, The Wall Street Journal, J.P. Morgan shakes up Diamond's succession race with two new presidents, in a move that signals the current leading candidates to succeed longtime CEO Jamie Dimon. The firm named Doug Petnoe and Troy Rohrbaugh as co-presidents and heads of J.P. Morgan's Commercial and Investment Bank and Consumer and Community Banking, respectively. Bloomberg, GameStop CEO drops $35 billion pay plan to focus on eBay Bid. The company announced it had withdrawn its proposed compensation plan for its CEO Ryan Cohen to prioritize its ongoing $56 billion bid to acquire eBay. The news also comes a week after GameStop investors filed a suit in Delaware Chancery Court criticizing the proposed pay package and accusing the company of issuing a misleading proxy statement. Governance intelligence: what governance teams need to know about the growing power of retail investors. In a conversation with host Natalie Bannerman, capital markets strategist Katie Perry explores whether retail investors are gaining real power in governance conversations or just making noise, as well as how social media, AI tools, and high-profile IPOs are reshaping corporate governance. And in IPO news, international IPO could be heating up with big tests in Frankfurt, Paris, and Lagos. While there's been much attention on the upcoming tech IPOs in the U.S., Reuters and Bloomberg reported this week on mega upcoming listings happening overseas, including the Franco-German tank maker KNDS, which plans to list on both the Frankfurt and Paris exchanges, and Nigeria's Dangote Petroleum, which is set to become Africa's biggest ever initial public offering at nearly $40 billion. Bloomberg, memory chipmaker SK Hynix's $29 billion U.S. listing seizes on AI demand. In a dual listing ADR sale, the South Korean semiconductor giant is planning on being among the top three first-time share sales ever, capitalizing on increased demand in the U.S. for semiconductor manufacturing. The Wall Street Journal, Agility, maker of human-like robots, to go public in $2.50 billion SPAC deal. Agility, a startup manufacturing humanoid robotics company, announced it plans to go public via SPAC, merging with Michael Klein's Churchill Capital Corp. 11. In a roughly $2.5 billion deal. The Wall Street Journal, celebrity favorite retailer Reformation prepares for summer IPO. The popular sustainable women's wear company hopes to capitalize on this year's IPO trend and is planning a potential listing as early as next month, reports Lauren Thomas. From our desk to yours. GP Purs recently dined at Oresh, the latest Soho hotspot from Catch Hospitality, led by Michelin-decorated Israeli chef Nadav Greenberg. The restaurant, with its Mediterranean and Levantine influences, prides itself on charcoal-grilled local ingredients, sourcing vegetables from the nearby Union Square Green Market. It doesn't take much more than that to sign us up. The cocktails were creative concoctions, and we chose the carrot and yogurt sour and the tahini espresso martini, served with a sweet sesame candy. There are no wrong options in regard to what food to order, and we started with the can't-be-missed, perfectly doughy Jerusalem bagel. The dips, baba ganoush, matbucha, mint tzatziki, olive oil, and za'atar, that the bagel came alongside paired beautifully and might have even been the stars of the show. For our main course, we chose the shrimp spaghetti and charcoal-grilled ratatouille to sample the fresh vegetables from our nearby farmer's market. While we stuck to a mainly vegetarian meal this time, those searching beyond our choices will not be disappointed with the menu's extensive raw seafood and meat selections. Finally, we recommend topping off your meal by indulging on classics with a spin. The cardamom soft serve or chocolate tahini cake. The food and space both lived up to the restaurant name, meaning light and fire in Hebrew. And we would recommend dining at the bar so that you can watch the bartenders at work if you can't snag a highly coveted seat. And finally, in open tabs, The Wall Street Journal, when did the first day of work outfit become so casual? The Atlantic, Paradise Revisited, What Darwin Saw in the Galapagos, Times of Israel, Mamdani's Monsters, A Warning Sign for Democracy? Fizz.org, first complete map of world seagrass offers warnings and hope for conservation. The GPP World Cup Dispatch. The Wall Street Journal, the 48 to team World Cup was supposed to be a catastrophe. Instead, it's a classic. The Wall Street Journal, the World Cup's juicy TV rivalry, the egomaniac and the loudmouth. The New Yorker, how to canoe to the World Cup in New Jersey. Finally, The newsletter will be taking off next week as the GPP team gathers with family and friends to celebrate America's 250th anniversary over the long 4th of July weekend. Have a great weekend and happy early 4th, GPP team.